Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Today, we've got a great treat for you as Dr. Elmore sat down for a fascinating conversation with a fascinating leader. His name is Dr. Gary Davidson, and he's the principal of Lambert High School, a fantastic leader who understands the power of creating a healthy school culture. And in this conversation, Tim and he talk about a couple of things. They talk about his personal journey in the world of education, the challenges that he faced along the way and how he overcame a lot of those, and what his principles are, the way he understands building a healthy school culture. So you're definitely going to want to listen in on to this. I think it's going to be a great conversation. So let's check it out.
So Gary, thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you on this podcast.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Tim.
Gary, I'd like you to start. You and I have known each other now for at least a few years, but I'd like you to start for all those that don't know you. Talk to us a little bit about your personal journey in education. Did you start as an educator, and how did it kind of unfold?
Okay. I'm currently in my 29th year as an educator, and I was the kid in high school that struggled. I was the kid that nothing came easy to me, and high school just did not work for me. I got through. I was the only the first person in my family to finish high school.
Wow.
Nothing came easy. It just wasn't easy for me, and I just never saw the whole schooling world as anything for me.
Yeah.
I graduated high school. I worked a little bit in the construction industry, and living in St. Louis, Missouri, it just during the winter in the construction field, you don't work a whole lot. So I realized at that point I had to go back and do something different. I started going back to school. I was actually studying to go into either business or accounting or something. And I had a little brother who was in second grade at the time. And I recognized the same struggles he was having that I had for much of my high school and schooling career. So I would spend time when I had my time off, I would spend time in his classroom just kind of helping out and just seeing what I could do to help. And I was bitten by the education bug at that time.
Huh.
I just realized it was something that I needed to do something to give back.
Yeah.
I felt like my struggles, if I could help kids that have similar struggles to me, then that would be something that would kind of bring it full circle for me. So I went back to school, became a teacher, and then I taught for 7 years. And then after my teaching career, I went into administration. I spent time as an elementary assistant principal, high school assistant principal, and elementary principal. And now for the last 13 years, I've been a high school principal.
That's fantastic.
I've used my background as kind of fuel to keep me going to help kids along.
Well, your why was so important. You were helping someone you cared about. And now you've just translated that to helping thousands of kids you care about. But what a great motivation. I love that. The ulterior motive wasn't, I think I can make a buck here and stay inside and not have to do any manual labor. It was, I care about these people. And if I can undo what happened to me, I'm all for it. I love it. So your pursuit of your profession then really came down to first to helping your brother, but then helping other kids. You mentioned giving back. Has the education journey been what you expected? And if not, why not? And if so, how?
Well, along the way, I had a teacher when I was a junior in high school. His name was Mr. Dito.
Okay.
And he was the one person through everything that said, I know you struggle, but I'm not going to have lesser expectations for you. You're going to have to succeed. You cannot get through my class without doing X, Y, and Z, and not getting through my class is not an option.
Wow.
Well, that was the first time in my life I had seen anything like that. And he wasn't a harsh man or anything, but he was very frank, very upfront, and very honest and open, and said, here's what you're going to do. You can do it. If you can't do it, we're going to do it together. Make sure you can get this done. And so for that reason, I've always looked at looking for avenues to help kids that don't fit in a factory model.
Yeah.
And we always are looking for solutions. So trying to enable change in some way so that the big institution of school can fit a single student is something that has always been very interesting to me. And I kind of see that as being my true mission is trying to take, we've got 3,000 students at our school right now.
And
even though we are a large school, I spend most of my time in trying to help kids make a big school small. And whether it be through organizations or whether it be through the groups that, that they work with or whatnot, I see that as being my opportunity to take what I've learned and use our organization in such a way to meet every student's needs. So really that's, that to me is kind of the essence of what I'm trying to do and what, and where I'm trying to take it.
Well, one of the reasons I've really come to appreciate you, Gary, and just our friendship is that this motivation that's very, I think, altruistic, very innate, just comes through in all that you do. And I think the way it does most is how you started Lambert High School. You were given the opportunity years ago to be the founding principal. Is that fair to say, the founding principal for the school?
It is.
Okay,
it is.
Great. So you've been at that school quite a few years, but it's relatively new. So I'd like you to walk the listeners through your story of how, when you took over, you invited so many others into the journey with you, and they got ownership of it.
Okay. I was principal of South Forsyth High School, which is our neighboring high school. And about 12 years ago, it looked like our community was going to split. We were a very, very large school, and we needed to have a relief high school built. So I was asked to open Lambert High School, which my community fed off of. And I was only given really two parameters. The first parameter is what the address would be, 805 Nichols Road. And the second parameter was that in the construction of the building, we had to use the color maroon in some way.
Okay.
Outside of that, it's really up to you to try and build. And and so that freedom really allowed me to kind of open that up and go a different direction.
Yeah.
So immediately I put together a group of students that were, I had a handful of current high school students back 13 years ago. And then I took students from grade second all the way through eighth grade, just a smattering of kids that wanted to be a part of it to help build what this school would look like in the future. And that was my student advisory council. And then I also went around to each of the neighborhoods that were going to feed into us. And I asked for parent representatives of that group. And then as staff were added, we added staff to the group. And we started off with bare, very basic questions. What is it we want the Lambert graduate to look like? What is it we're going to stand for as a school? What will represent us best? What will the mascot be? What will the alma mater be? What will we be known for as a school? And that went all the way from kids going through the school, from the parents, the community. And we had, I had about a year to put all of that together.
Wow.
And our crest today has five large symbols that really encapsulate who we are. It was very important to all groups that we focused on the family, that hospitality and business be a big part of what we do, that we always pursue excellence in anything that we're going to try, and that, frankly, our community thought it was very important that we do science and not teach science. And so those are the elements of our crest today, and those came directly from the kids and parents from the community. Our mascot of the Longhorns came right from the kids. The alma mater, it was really interesting to that first group that we had, all of those students that were a part of our student advisory have since graduated and they're all alumni now. And so it's really neat to see them come back and give feedback on what they saw, their, the leadership that they took. in being able to put this together and put together elements such as the Lambert Graduate, how we're going to do our work in some very unique ways. And for students to be able to share what that has meant to them to be able to start a 3,000 student high school, you know, we're $62 million and we got to have a group of kids help put together some of the most active pieces of it. And just how exciting that was to see their input on it was just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, and you and I both believe people support what they help create, and you just invited a whole bunch of creators into the journey. It wasn't that you couldn't have thought it up, but you just wanted ownership in the community. And I love how you built that so well.
What they put together is 10 times better than anything I could put together. This was also at the time of the economic downturn. We were able to capitalize on some of it by going to the neighborhoods. Myself and my newly hired athletic director, we went to every neighborhood. We did 31 neighborhood chats.
Wow.
And we asked people to join with us. We couldn't really tell them where we're going yet, but we just asked for them to have enough faith to jump on board. They can jump off anytime, but just jump on board. We want you to be part of us moving forward.
Yeah.
And that really, at that time, people wanted to be a part of something bigger than them.
Yep.
And so we had community members that didn't have kids in the school, would never have kids in the school. They were being a part of what we were doing. We actually had a family near our school that had a farm about 100 miles away. And every Friday, they would drive to their farm, load up a live longhorn, bring it to our school for every Friday night game.
That's
and they would
awesome.
Stay with it and then take it back home on Friday night. They did not have a child in our school.
Oh, my gosh. And they weren't getting paid to do this. Yeah.
They just wanted to be a part of what we're doing. I just thought that was so fascinating.
That's so cool. That's like a college. I mean, you know, that's you really have operated. You've gotten the kids ready for big stuff coming after afterwards. So, Gary, I want to shift gears. You and I have had so many cool conversations over the years, and some of them have surrounded how you've met up with challenges and you've found creative ways to solve those challenges when a student falls behind or whatever. Talk about some of the creative ways you've met the challenges with really cool creative solutions.
Well, thank you for recognizing that. It's something that we're very proud of here at Lambert is being able to meet some challenges like that. But we think fundamentally, if we don't build a relationship first, the buy-in for a solution to a challenge is going to be half-hearted on both sides.
Yeah, right.
And so we feel that we have to start everything we do with a foundation of a relationship. So every opportunity we have for building a relationship with a student, with a family, with a teacher, anyone, we try not to miss any of those opportunities. So when you have that foundation of a relationship and a solid relationship in place, now there aren't a lot of things that are off the table when you're talking. If I have a great relationship, the other day I was meeting with a student who's struggling. And I've had a chance to this girl is a junior, and I've had a chance to build a relationship through not only her but her family and previous siblings that had gone to school here. So by offering some opportunities that are going to be A, a lot more work, B, going to really ask her to kind of believe us in some things and just kind of go along with
trust.
Us until she fully buys into it. If I didn't have a relationship built there and some trust already built, then I don't know that she would jump on board with that. We ask kids, we do a rather interesting thing during the middle of the day. We do a thing called Lunch and Learn, where we have our kids get almost an hour for lunch every day.
Wow.
So, I have 1500 kids that are released for lunch during fifth period and 1500 kids that are released at sixth period. And our cafeteria doesn't hold that. So it really is a strain on the campus.
Yeah.
But what it does is it allows us, we put trust in kids' hands.
Yep.
They put trust in our hands.
Yeah.
And so we have teachers that give up time in the middle of their day in their own lunch to go up and meet with kids every single day from every department and just be available for kids. And so a student might have a question about a math test, or they might be struggling in something. There is a teacher that's there to willing every single day to meet them, to discuss whatever it is on their time, to be able to help them through any of the struggles they're having.
Gary, I just got to stop. I want to stop you real quick.
That has caused our failure rate to go from 7% at midterm to below 1% this year.
Wow. Wow.
And it's huge. Just that trust that we have. It's looking at things differently. I have some kids that might, we're doing some double blocked classes. We're doing some embedded credit with some other courses and some things like that, that sound odd, but if you don't have a framework of trust and a relationship, it's going to be hard for anybody to believe that it's possible to do.
Yeah.
I had a young man last year who was a senior. Life had gotten in the way. He was 18 years old. He had a child. He had a job. And he was bound and determined that, yes, I want to be a good dad. I want to be there for my son. So I have to work. And school's getting in the way of my working. But yet he was really committed to wanting to graduate. So he and I worked out a plan where I went over and met with his boss. I said, look, here's what I need. And I know that you need this. Let's see if we can work something out together so that you get the best employee. I help get him graduated. And come June, he is going to be set to be the best dad he can be. And so we worked it out. And he ended up actually getting more hours as a result of it. But we were able to keep him on track. We got him graduated, and now he's, you know, doing really well with his son. His family's together, intact, and doing well. So it's being willing to think of things differently, but also being willing to put the time and effort into building the relationship up front.
Well, that's coming through loud and clear. I started to interrupt you earlier. I want to push pause here, and for the listener's sake, what Gary is exhibiting here and communicating is the creativity and willingness to go outside of boxes that we tend to think we're stuck in about time. Like, Gary, you know this. I talked to so many principals that go, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. We're all locked into this schedule. But you found time for lunch where kids can eat lunch and just relax, or they can meet with a teacher and actually get some bonus time with them to catch up. And I just love the fact that you're leading out of your own journey when you were a high school kid. Boy, would it have been nice if I would have had that way back in the day. And you're actually providing it. I love it. So that's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to shift gears one last time. A couple of questions really about today. It was such an honor to have you at the Principals Roundtable, the Roundtable for Principals in Atlanta last summer. I'd love to talk about that real quick. Just for listeners out there that might be considering coming, talk about what happened last year, how it was beneficial. Just describe it real quick as someone who was there as a principal.
Excellent. I'd love to. Every year, any high school principal will tell you, or any principal will tell you, we are always looking for opportunities for professional learning for our staff.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we neglect ourselves when it comes to our own learning. And or we expect someone else to do that for us. I will tell you that in my many years of doing things, I can hands down say that this was the best professional learning that I've been able to give myself in many, many years. I went in, of course, every time for a principal is going to be a busy time.
Yeah, right.
In there, I found myself being able to swim in my own head the whole time.
Yeah.
And the ideas were just flooding to me. I love the idea of during the session to be able to have enough conversation with colleagues to be able to flesh out ideas, to be able to share ideas. And I left there with a tremendous book full of different things. Now, my staff, when I come back with so many ideas. They're saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? But it's great for me to be able to feel like I've been fed coming to an environment where I'm among colleagues, there's no judgment when you go in, and I found that to be terrific. I've been to other things that there was an element of judgment around, but at this event, there was no judgment. And I could share dumb ideas. I could share great ideas. And even the dumb ideas were met with, well, I don't know about that one, but there might be a kernel of truth there. Let's try and work through that.
Yeah.
And I found myself coming back on fire. I just thought it was great. And I recommend it to anyone that has the opportunity to come.
Well, you're kind, Gary. I feel like you're the consummate principal. May your tribe increase. But it's so honoring to hear you say that, because it really is a think tank, isn't it? Everybody is a principal. So this is not faculty or staff. This is principals, leaders of schools, and specifically a think tank where you're talking at a round table with four or five other people processing ideas. And that was our goal. What you just said was our goal. We want you to leave with a truckload of ideas, some of which you won't do, but three or four you might do. And it is, makes a difference when you leave. So I appreciate you coming, Gary.
There was one thing, if I could just add, one thing. In some of the research you'd shared, you shared some research about feedback.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind for several years, I've always been thinking that there's something different we can do in helping teachers to communicate with kids differently.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you shared a slide about performance increases by 40%,
yes,
I believe, when feedback is given. And then I was able to come back and share that idea. Something was just stuck in my craw about that. I came back and shared with some of my staff. I happened to be with some of the coaches there that day when I came back. And we were able to take it from coaches teaching teachers based upon what coaches do in practice with their athletes. And it was so valuable to so many of my staff in being able to communicate. Oftentimes academic teachers will dismiss coaches, but at that opportunity, they looked at them and said, wow, that makes more sense to me now.
And so it
was able to put a different twist on something. Good. And so it's changed some of the conversation that we have with teachers on a given day.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that, because our reason for our existence at Growing Leaders is people like you to put tools in your tool belt to better be practitioners. And I just think you're doing a stellar job. I'm a Gary Davison fan. I've drunk the Kool-Aid, so I appreciate you spending some time, Gary. And I love every time we get a chance to be together. So thank you for joining us. And listeners out there, we'd love you to consider coming this June 21 and 22 in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be all about, our theme this year is Own It. We're attempting to help you build ownership, metacognition and ownership, from the youngest student to the oldest faculty or staff or administrator that you've got. So at all levels. By the way, parents, students, staff, faculty, and administrators. And we've got a great lineup. In fact, Gary, you know this already, but we're bringing in the president of Coca-Cola Consolidated, who's talking about their culture. We're bringing in Ginger Hartage from Southwestern Airlines to talk about Southwestern's culture. We're bringing in Derek Johnson, who's consulted with Walt Disney World for 38 years, to talk about the Disney World culture. So we're bringing in high-level cultures. And our thinking was, you guys, as educators, listeners, listening right now, get to hear from each other a bunch. Why don't we listen to the best out there in their industry and translate those ideas to a school campus? That's our goal. So, Gary, I think you're doing it already on your campus. But listeners, we'd love to have you join us June 21 and 22, 2019. For the Principals Roundtable here in Atlanta. And Gary, thank you again for sharing with us. Your story is so vivid, and it just reminds me, with a story like yours, you end up responding like you do so well as a leader for educators. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tim, and thank you to your whole team as well. Your whole organization has been so supportive and has really helped us to really multiply our own thinking. So thank you all for your work.
Absolutely. Gary, you too. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks so much for listening in on this conversation. We know that it's immensely helpful. And you might be listening to it thinking, I would love to learn more. I'd love to dig a little bit deeper. And I'd even love to meet Dr. Davidson. I understand why you'd want to do that. Well, we have an event coming up that we're really excited about. It's called the Roundtable for Principals. It's coming up on June 20th and 21st. And we think it's going to be an incredible event. all based around how do you build an incredible school culture at your school. So this is specifically for administrators in middle schools and high schools anywhere in the United States or all over the world. We'd love for you to be there. So it's vice principals and principals and superintendents and everybody else. We would love for you to be there. So again, that's June 20th and 21st. You can find out more information about this event by going to growingleaders.com and clicking on events at the very top, and you'll see it there, the roundtable for principals. We really hope that you'll sign up for that. Come be with us in Atlanta in June, and we're really excited. As always, if you'll rate this podcast, that really helps us out. Give us 5 stars. Follow us on social media. We love to connect with you there, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then, as always, if you've got ideas for this podcast, other people you want us to interview, questions you want us to answer, we'd love for you to send us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in June.